You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. And today we get to do one of our favorite things on this podcast, which is to have a guest and to get to hear not just their personal testimony, but also how God is at work today to encourage you. So our guest today is Leanna Ray. Leanna is somebody who's been a friend of ours here on the podcast for a long time. She is a member of the Kingdom Movement Church down in Vancouver, Washington, and a part of a mission organization called Compassion to Action in the greater Portland area. Hey, Leanna, thanks for being with us.
It's my privilege to be here, Jamie. I'm excited to share some things and encourage people.
Sounds awesome. So, Leanna, we always ask our first-time guests to share their personal testimony. Share with our listeners a little bit about yourself, if you'd like, and then how did you come to Christ?
Yeah, so I came to Christ when I was a little kid. So when you've been a Christian your whole life, you kind of got to pick and choose what to share and what not to share. But I'll share a bit about the last season of my life. I have been living in the Portland, Oregon area since 2016, and It's been a pretty wild ride with the Lord, I'll just say. I started out really, really surrendering to the Lord when I was a teenager and moving into that personal relationship with the Lord when I was 13, 14. Although I really gave my life to the Lord when I was four, but but as a teenager, I kind of grasped the independent nature of my faith. So missions has played a role in my story on and off. I went on my first missions trip when I was 14 to Ukraine, went there three times in high school and worked with orphanages, did medical missions, and then eventually moved into working in the medical field, which opened the door for me to do medical missions in a closed nation, which is a highlight of my entire life, I will say. And then now, missions kind of went on the back burner. I didn't really think about it other than financially giving. And in the last year, the Lord has radically, I will say, awakened my heart to the importance and especially the timing of now sharing the gospel. And it's just become so much more urgent and pressing on my heart. And that really happened through involvement and coming into a community that's very gospel-centric and emphasizes going out of the four walls of the church, meeting people who are not walking with the Lord and engaging them with gospel conversations in a loving way and a way that allows the Holy Spirit to be the great evangelist that he is and to shift people's hearts towards him, so towards the Lord. So I guess, I mean, I said a lot about my current life in that, but the Lord has always been my one thing. I had a bit of a topsy-turvy childhood, a lot of ups and downs along the way, like all of us have, but the Lord has been so faithful and so present in my life. I think one of my favorite characteristics of God is his faithfulness and his loving kindness, right? Endures forever. So that's a little bit about my walk with the Lord, my relationship with him, and the journey I've been on.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's great. And I love to hear those kind of stories as well, because, you know, we've had many guests on this podcast that have that like dramatic, in a moment, you know, Christ met them and they accepted him. And there was just radical, you know, change or just radical events. And so often, you know, you have people that are like, really have struggled with their own faith before the Lord, because they're like, well, but my story's not like that. You know, I don't have that, like, in this moment, I was saved, you know, event. And as a result, there's always kind of that struggle. And so it's so good for folks to hear those stories as well that are like, hey, you know what? I didn't come from a background that knew nothing of God or knew nothing of the Word of God, and certainly, you know, grew up in and around the church and all those sort of things. And so it's good for people, I feel like, to hear those stories of slowly giving your heart over to the Lord over time as well. Because obviously we believe that God saves people in lots of different ways. The salvation itself is the same. It is by faith, through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. In fact, Jesus himself in John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. And so we're not saying that people are saved by different ways or means. They are not. But how God works in somebody's life is very different person to person and story to story based on their need, which obviously God knows. So that's awesome. Thanks for sharing. I love that you pointed to the fact that your church is very missionally minded. And I want to, you know, remind our listeners back to Jesus's final command, you could say, on earth, when he said in Matthew 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I want to ask first, I mean, you've come on the podcast to share some exciting news in your life, and we will get to that a little bit later. But I want to ask the question, as you've been engaging with this mission, compassion to action, and working in one of the darkest, seen by many, places in the country, down there in the Portland, the greater Portland area. How have you seen God at work moving in recent days?
So many ways, Jamie. It's mind-boggling, honestly. I mean, I have been a believer for my pretty much whole life, and I've never seen so many people getting saved. I've never seen so many people that are really hungry and searching. And one story comes to mind to share. And back when Chaz was happening in Seattle, you know, the no police zone, there was something that was sort of similar, but on a smaller scale, that happened in Portland surrounding something called the Red House. And there was just a legal battle over this house. And so squatters came in and basically declared it an autonomous space. And there was just a lot of violence there. The barricades that got put up looked like a war zone. It was kind of crazy. And one of the days that some friends and I were going out to find people that were hungry for the Lord, we felt strongly that we were supposed to go there. You know, we're not supposed to run from the darkest places as believers. We are the light of the world. And how can the light dispel the darkness if the light will not go? And so we went. So my friends and I went to the autonomous zone. The people that were there don't call it that. So we started praying. It was very clear when we got up to the gate that there was going to be some spiritual pushback, but I was able to have a good, positive conversation with the girl that was there, and just to be able to bless her in the name of Jesus. And once we got past that and into the actual space behind the barricades, it was pretty intense of an atmosphere, just the way that it felt back there, pretty heavy. And I was mostly just praying, to be honest. I wasn't really seeking a ton of opportunities to talk to people, because there were people there with weapons. You know, everybody was in tactical gear, and it was just an intense environment. But this one gal kind of stood out, and I made a comment to her. And because I did that, it led to several encounters with different people. Two salvation encounters, one of which I will tell you about. So we're talking to these couple of young girls, young 20s girls, and this very, very tall African-American man comes walking towards us. He's walking a little slow with kind of this look on his face like, what is going on? he walks over to us and he's listening. And the Spirit of God came over me with a love and compassion for this guy that I have no explanation for. I felt like this mama bear heart come over me. And he's 6'4", and I am not that tall. And I walked over to him and I said, "Can I give you a mama hug?" And he looked at me and I was like, you know, like a hug from a mom. And he's like, "Okay." And I give him a hug and something shifts. And I put my hands on his shoulders, like way up high, because he's so tall. And I just started to speak into his life. And I said, "Are you ready to stop running? Are you ready to be the man that God made you to be? You know why you were created, and you know you're put on this earth with a purpose, for a purpose. You know you're not an accident, and you know you have no business being in the places that you have been." And I called him out, and I called him higher in the name of Jesus. And he experienced the Lord in that moment. And I got to be a part of him coming into the kingdom. And that story stands out to me as what we as believers have the authority to move and do, to go, therefore, into all the world. And that young man hasn't just been a one-time encounter. I love him. He loves me. I still tell him I'm your mama. Like, I want to be a mama in your life and speak truth and love over you and to you. Not that we're that far away in age, but just spiritually speaking. And yeah, I just share that as one little tidbit of what God has done recently that has transformed people's lives.
That's really awesome. I love it. I love hearing the stories and then just the power of those moments, you know, of the Holy Spirit being like, "Hey, you need to, you need to tell him this." Cause you're like sort of thinking, at least if it was me, I'd be sitting there thinking like, "Oh, he's going to be like, this chick is nuts," you know? And yet that was literally what the Holy Spirit knew he needed in that moment. And that's just wild. And I would agree with you. I think God is at work. I mean, God's always been at work, right? But it's more obvious, I feel like, recently. And maybe it could just simply be, as things get darker, the light becomes more profound, if you're following my logic there. Speaking not of, like, New Ageism or good energy or something like that. I'm talking about, yeah, I'm talking about, you know, John 1, light has come into the world and the darkness cannot overcome it. That concept, we've talked about this before, but one of the verses that's been just on my mind so much over the last year is from Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, where it says God is responding to the prophet, you know, who's been decrying, "Lord, there's all this evil going on. There's all this injustice. There's all this horrible stuff. Respond, you know, move, deal with it." And God's response in verse 5 is to say, "I'm doing a work in your day that you would not believe, even if I told you." And that's absolutely been true. Like, there's been so much mad chaos with the election of 2020 and pandemic. And just, it seems like our society in general has just like full on collapsed in like every way possible. Of course, some of these ways we've known for a long time. And then some of these, it was like overnight, they just exploded. And yet the number of gospel conversations that we're able to have just in terms of normal life and ministry just seem to have quadrupled. Just super awesome. So that's really cool. Yeah, thanks for sharing. You've got some exciting news to share in terms of where God's leading you in this movement to get the gospel out to all nations and peoples. So tell us a little bit about that. What has God led you to, and what's the exciting news there?
Yes. So in September, I will actually be going internationally on a ministry trip. It's been almost a year of doing kind of local missions, I will say, in Portland and around here in the U.S., but it's the first time in a couple years I've gone internationally. So I will be in Brazil in September and going to a couple of the larger cities in the Sao Paulo area. So Sao Paulo, Javier Brito, and Campinas. I might have totally botched how you say those. But around that area of Brazil. And we're going to be doing a variety of things, but largely a lot of it will be evangelism and partnering with local churches and ministries in the area.
That's awesome. So how did you get connected with this particular mission and to be interested in this?
You know, it's funny. People say there's 7 degrees of separation, right? We've all heard that. Honestly, in evangelism circles, it's kind of like there's 1 degree of separation between everything. So I was listening to a podcast that had one of the speakers who's going to be training on this trip. It's kind of like an education and ministry trip, not all outreach, but also learning, a time of gleaning from teachers that have been in this for a long time. And I was really struck by what this guy was sharing. He has stories about being invited into Catholic dioceses, being invited into Baptist circles, being invited into Pentecostal circles, where it's not just one little pocket. He says this one thing: what makes us Christian isn't perfect doctrine, it's our experience of being born again, even if we talk about that experience with different words. And his heart is that we really need to see more unity increase in the body of Christ so that we can be a good net for the babies of revival, basically, like, so that they will know we are Christians by our love for one another, not by our infighting and our differences. And there was just something that really struck a chord with my heart and my heart for the church, like capital C. And I was like, I would love to go and learn from him sometime. And then I don't even remember how I heard about the trip for the first time, but several of my friends actually have either been on this type of trip with this organization or the speaker, or been to Brazil or been to those churches. And I have so many connections to Brazil that I didn't know I had. One of my good friends is there right now, actually doing a lot of, he's done jail ministry and in churches and on streets. And I think he's in a slum this last week. That was where he was based out of. And he's been there for about a month. But I just found out that I have all these connections to Brazil. So I'm excited to learn, number one, but also just to see the Lord do what he wants through surrender.
That's awesome. To keep at the front of mind the difference between theology and the gospel, right? This is very important because there's a degree to which, as long as we have the gospel correct, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, even if we differ about the lesser, you know, the lesser important areas of theology. And that's really neat. But of course, it's also neat to get the opportunity to walk with somebody who's been just devoting their life to evangelism and is gifted by the Holy Spirit for that purpose, and just to be able to learn and you know, learn from their words, their teaching, but also learn from doing ministry with them, which sometimes I feel like is more valuable, you know, when you get to actually walk
practical
with
experience.
Somebody. Yeah, totally. So I want to ask a question, not so much about that specific mission, but really towards the attitude of missions in general. And I will say for our listeners, if you would like to learn more about this mission trip specifically, or you would like to donate to Leanna's specific trip, we'll have links in the show notes where you'll be able to do that, go get some information, and also be able to donate if the Lord leads you to do that. But I can see a lot of our listeners sitting there going, well, okay, but you're talking about having done lots of missions and having been engaged in this form of ministry for many, many years, going back to, I think you said, when you were a teenager, right? Or early teenager.
Yeah.
They're sitting there going, yeah, but I haven't done that. And I don't know how to do that. And I haven't been to Bible school. And I haven't been, you know, I've had no formal apologetics training. Or I'm afraid to step out and really fulfill that call. How would you respond to somebody asking that sort of question? How would you encourage them in this charge from the Lord Jesus to go and make disciples?
I would say that a lot of obedience is choice, not feeling. Number one, right? Most of the time, we don't enjoy obeying when it's something that we're not excited about. But when you give your full surrender to the Lord and you obey even when you don't feel like it, and you give him your motives and ask for his help, he will empower you. And a year ago, if you had told me I would be doing this right now, I would roll my eyes and say, you're hilarious. But I will also say the second part is not just sheer obedience, but really getting into a community of believers that can disciple you in evangelism is priceless. I have some friends that they have given their lives to evangelism. They are full-time evangelists. And there's just something that is caught that is so different than being taught. You know, I've Chris Overstreet is one of the big names that I've served with. And I went with him to a BLM rally, a Black Lives Matter rally, on Women's Day. It was the Women's Day March. And one of the speakers finished, he went up to her and he was compelled towards her as a leader to a leader. He wanted to pray for her. And so the way that he approached her was to say, hi, we're here just honoring people and really want to bless them. I just want to honor you today. Is there anything going on that we can pray for you for? Can I just pray a blessing over you? And here's this woman with this incredibly tough person facade. She's open, caring on her hip. He comes in with such humility that she totally opens up to the gospel, grabs her son, and she's like, you better listen to this holy man. And they have this incredible, beautiful encounter. That is not something that is detailed necessarily to us in scripture. And so you can set your face to obey and go out and do something, right? But it's catching the heart that I think is really powerful when we do it in community. And so finding somebody that is more of an evangelist or has that heartbeat and going with them. But the other thing that I will say is you don't need to wait for anybody or anything. It's kind of silly, but one of the things that I've seen that's the most simple but also really powerful is to just take a poster board, write free prayer on it, grab a lawn chair, and go to a park. Like, if you're really scared, you just get an empty lawn chair and you sit next to the empty lawn chair with your sign. Somebody's going to come sit in the chair, okay? If that sounds easy, take the next step. Don't bring chairs. Walk around and ask people if they want free prayer. If that sounds really easy, take the next step. Next time you're in the check stand at the grocery, ask the cashier, is there anything I can pray for you for? I just love blessing people. There's lots of different ways you could do it. It doesn't have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be yelling. It can just be reaching out with kindness to the person that's around you.
That's a great way to put it. And I love the way you said that, setting your heart. I think that's probably more the key to it than anything else, right? Because it's not, evangelism is never our work, like you said in the beginning, right? It's never us. It's always God. I mean, again, you know, think to Jesus's words in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. He says, look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents and as harmless as doves. because people will hand you over to Sanhedrins and flog you in their synagogues. Beware of them. You will even be brought before governors and kings because of me to bear witness to them and to the nations. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for you will be given what to say in that hour, because you are not speaking, but it is the Spirit of your Father that is speaking through you. And that's always been really encouraging to me, because first of all, it says, yeah, you're going to run into some hostility sometimes. But more importantly, it's not our work. It is the work of the Lord through us. And I'm sure you've seen that happen. Well, you've already testified to that reality in these conversations. God just pulls at your heart. Hey, say this to them or engage in this way. Like, who'd think giving a hug to somebody is what's most needed to draw somebody to the truth of the gospel? Like, what? That's wild. And yet, that's what God does, right?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I don't know how many times I have been moved with compassion for someone and I literally have no words. Like, I don't have any message from the Lord to give anybody, but I just have compassion and he's used it. And I have a friend who, she got to lead somebody to the Lord because she saw this person sitting on a bench and she just looked miserable. And so as she's walking by, she's like, hi, how's your day going? And the lady started crying and opened up and gave her life to Christ. Like, literally all you have to do is care and have Jesus's heart for people and engage them in some way. Get to the gospel part.
And I also think, I call them divine appointments. Mm. And the reason I call them divine appointments is I believe that God uses us in our life experience, in our own personal struggles, in our own personal walk with God, where oftentimes he ends up bringing us to people that we are able to meet and connect with in a way that maybe somebody else isn't, you know, at least not in that moment. And so that's cool. I mean, that's a really neat part of it to recognize as well. It's like, okay, God knows everything about us and he knows what he's brought us through and he knows how he's taught us and he knows, you know, what we know, and very often brings us to engage people that are in need of, or something we can just simply relate to, right? Where I can speak to or relate to somebody's situation because I've been there or I've felt that or we've struggled with that or absolutely, whatever.
Yeah, that's pretty common. I had a friend come down to Portland to do some street evangelism because they'd never seen it done well. And he went out with us and he didn't talk to anybody. He didn't engage anybody. He just watched. He gets on the train to go back home and he kind of told the Lord, if you want me to talk to somebody, you're going to have them talk to me. And sure enough, he gets placed next to this young kid on the train who is clearly having some issues in life. And he was uniquely equipped with a past that was broken that the Lord had redeemed in such a way that this kid was struggling with. And he came away completely flabbergasted in wonder of the Lord, because God set it up where you think you don't know enough, but actually you know something. And God can bring somebody across your path that needs that one thing. The one thing that you have to give because the Lord gave you.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's so true. It's so crazy. And that's why I call them divine appointments, because there's sometimes we think like, oh man, I'm doing so great. And it's like, no, you just were where God called you to be. And then there's other times where you randomly get somewhere and the plan is not at all what it was supposed to be. And nothing goes like you think it's going to go. And then you end up having a gospel conversation, maybe with one person, or maybe it's a bunch of people or something, where you're like, okay, you realize later when it's all done, you look back and you think like, oh, wow, God brought all this about for that one conversation. or that one moment, you know? And then it's so encouraging too, because it's, wow, God is actively bringing all this about. So literally, when you go out evangelism, God has already gone before you and prepared the way. Like, that's a crazy, mind-blowing thought to me.
It is. He's just that good.
So basically, the encouragement, if you're out there thinking, I can't do evangelism, yes, you can. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. That isn't to say, like, obviously, engage with apologetic sources, engage with evangelists, engage with, you know, because there's so much wisdom gained there. There's so much information out there. Me personally, a lot of my conversations with people begin in evangelism and end up more in apologetics. And I think, you know, there's all these times where you're reading about all this stuff or studying this stuff that you're like, this doesn't matter for anything. And then you end up using it in one of those conversations. And it's like, that's what it was for. Let me ask this question here as we're running, you know, pretty low on time. How can our listeners, those brothers and sisters in Christ out there, how can they be praying for you in this new adventure and the lead up to the new adventure and even just the ongoing day-to-day street evangelism in Portland?
When people have asked me this question, I have only one answer, and that is I don't want to miss any piece of what the Lord has in this season. Like, I want to be a totally usable vessel for him. I know that my friends who are doing evangelism full-time here would say the same thing, that, you know, the Moravians in the Moravian revival way back when, they used to sell everything they had, get on a ship to go to a different nation and bring their casket. They brought all their belongings in their casket because they knew they weren't going back. And while we don't have to do that these days, most of the time, our heart cry is the same, and that is that the Lamb would receive the reward of his suffering. And that is my heart cry above everything else, that Jesus would receive the reward of his suffering, which is souls. So that's what I would say. Pray for the harvest and pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth the workers, and that's you. Because we have all been sent. We have all been commissioned.
Awesome. And we recognize that there are listeners out there who are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We get emails from you. We love to engage with you. So if you're out there listening and you have a question about salvation, question about the Word of God, question about the truth of all of this, definitely email us or contact us through our social media platforms and share your question. And we'd love to engage with you. We know that Christ is who he says he is, and he's done what he says he's done. And the result is that you can have new life in him. And that life is not one just for this world, but it's an eternal one. It brings us peace moving forward. No matter what happens in this life, we have the security of knowing that we will be with Christ forever. And that can be yours as well. Christ came and died and rose again so that you can be reconciled in relationship with God. If you'd love, like we said before, to learn more about Leanna's mission trip, we will have that information for you in the show notes. Feel free to engage with it, find out a little more about it, be able to donate if God leads you to do that. And then, of course, we'll include any other social media links that she may have as well, so that you can stay in touch with her, find out what's going on in her world as she seeks to make disciples in and around Portland and as far as South America and beyond for the glory of our incredible Lord.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.